Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is June 5th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So I'm going to take you guys on a coffee chat this morning. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. Hope you're taking a little bit of time to rest and relax and recalibrate a little bit. I have been noticing, actually, a lot of folks out there expressing their increasing frustration and their, I guess you could say, overall battle fatigue. And certainly I have a lot of that myself. I experience it on a regular basis. And quite honestly, it's a big part of what I talk about on my podcast, because the way I look at it, I see myself really as just one of the people and a voice that represents, at least for my audience, represents the people and what we're going through and this shared experience. And obviously, like I was talking about the other day, nothing really can be universally applied to all people. No experience, no real virtue or character or lack thereof. But certainly, I think all of us, we resonate pretty much at the same frequency. That's the reason that you come and listen to my show. So I think it's important to give voice to what we're going through. But at the same time, I also think it's important to remember what the overall big picture is here. Now, obviously, over the past couple of weeks, there have been a couple of events that have transpired that have really injected a lot of emotional energy. And certainly, I could make the argument that it's negative energy that the cabal is thrusting into the ether to do everything that they can to try to get people to start to doubt, to get people to really begin to shake their faith off a little bit and start to question the whole plan. And I do believe that this is all a part of the enemy's strategy, first of all, by dragging it out for as long as they have, because I think they understand that when we're going through hell, it's really hard for people after they've been through it for such a long time to keep going. And the temptation is always there for people to just say, throw up their hands and say, well, forget it. I don't believe it anymore. And I'm just going to disconnect. And, you know, I think when you do that, you really have achieved an enemy objective, because their objective is to get us to prevent us really from unifying. Their objective is to keep us divided. And what they see on alternative media, this is why they hate it so much. This is why big tech, as well funded as it is, and I mean, as corrupted as it is in the power structure, they still, with all of their resources, they can't battle back against the truth, because the truth is what people ultimately want. And that's why alternative media is absolutely exploding. And they see the unification of humanity by way of alternative media, because we're talking about the truth. And we understand that the truth is going to ultimately usher in peace into the world. It's like Julian Assange famously said, and I may butcher the quote, but something along the lines of, you know, if wars can be started by lies, then peace can be started by truth. And, you know, I did an episode a couple days ago where I was talking about, well, I think it might have been maybe earlier in the week, but anyway, I was talking about whether or not humanity was up for the challenge. You know, are we really ready to face the truth? Are we really ready to embrace reality? And, you know, there is a lot of debate about that out there. I think I've heard people, even insiders, talk about the white hats having a debate about that in terms of whether or not we should be treated with kid gloves with all of this disclosure, because it's so horrific. And it is. I mean, based upon what we know, I mean, I can't even imagine anything more horrifying. And yet I'm almost certain that there are going to be details, there are going to be things that come out that I don't know about, that you don't know about, that are just going to be, well, I mean, what can you say about evil? You run out of adjectives to describe it, really. I mean, honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. It's just like I run out of ways to describe and to paint a picture of just how depraved and wicked and completely soulless and vacant these beings are. They're not even human. But I do believe that humanity does have the capacity to handle the truth. And because we've been living inside of a bubble for so long, there are a lot of people who question that. And even myself at a certain point, I wondered, you know, what's going to happen when people find out about what they're doing to the children, what they've done to the children, how industrial the scale of what they've done. And that's, of course, adrenochrome and the children is one aspect of their trafficking. It's the worst by far, but they have many, many other. I mean, pretty much if you can traffic it, if it's possible to do it, these sick people do it. And what they do, the details and all of those things, I would think about it and I would just say to myself, there's no way that the public is going to be able to handle this. And, you know, honestly, when I look at people that are asleep, I think to myself the same thing. I mean, whenever this pops into my mind and I cross-reference it with what I'm witnessing out there in the public, it's like people have no idea that this stuff is going on. And if you were to talk to some of these people just randomly and try to bring up some of these subjects, I mean, you know what would happen. I mean, we've all been there before, even with people that we have relationships with. But you just know that the public, a big portion of it for a very long time, has been walking around just in complete daze of ignorance. And there are still people who are doing that. However, like I've been talking about and like you've heard pretty much everyone else say, I think it's undeniable that over the past couple of years, that this has dramatically, dramatically changed in terms of public awakening. Are we at that consensus, you know, tipping point moment yet in terms of numbers? Well, I think that we're very close. And that's, I've said before that I don't believe that the white hats are ultimately going to make a move until they're 100% confident that that percentage, and I do believe it's 80%+, I think they're looking for that, has been met. Because again, this is all gamed out. This is all mathematically, algorithmically, however they do it, plotted out and war gamed out. And they know with scientific precision exactly what they need in terms of public perception shifting in the right direction before that they can actually make a move. And, you know, we talk about so many of the aspects of this war. And of course, it's always kind of, you know, the discussion is always a little bit front loaded by the looming question, you know, the 25 gazillion dollar question, which is when is this all going to happen? I mean, of course, that's always on the forefront of our consciousness as we're thinking about all these things. And there are so many different theaters in this war, so many different possibilities as to why the white hats haven't made their move. However, I do believe that while all the other ones that we talk about, for example, you know, continuing operations going on to liberate dumbs and so on, while I believe all that to be true, I firmly believe that at the end of the day, even when all of those battles have been won, I mean, because of course, you know, we need to talk to somebody like Gene or, you know, one of the other really great insiders that we love to get a up-to-date intel battle report, so to speak, as to where we are as far as liberating all the dumbs and taking out the rest of the cabal. But even once the cabal has been taken out, and I honestly believe that the good guys aren't going to make a move and they're not going to actually come out of the shadows because until that percentage has been reached, because there's still the very real threat of having all of this backfire and having there be violence. I mean, we can never forget that while we are on the right, obviously, on the right and in the right, I guess, I mean, I don't really buy into the political paradigms, as people know. I mean, I transcended that a long time ago, realized that it was just Coke and Pepsi. But all of us, I do believe, fundamentally are the strongest, the toughest. And honestly, if there was any type of a civil war, any type of a conflict, I do believe that the Patriots would be completely undefeatable. However, we can never forget that whenever there's a civil war, whenever there's an armed conflict, there's massive, massive destruction and massive carnage that would occur. And if that road was traveled down by the American people once again, and we found ourselves, you know, getting coaxed into a civil war, like I've talked about recently, I do believe that everything that we've learned up until this point, and all of the spiritual evolution that's taken place amongst humanity and is going to continue because of the genius of this plan, would go right out the window. And so that critical number, whatever it is, I'm just going to go with 80+%. We've heard 107 point to that number. We've heard, I think, Gene talk about similar figure, but it makes sense. You know, you really do need 8 out of 10 people to be on board before you have the military come out and basically start revealing to everybody what's been going on for these past 2 years. And of course, there are going to be books that are written for thousands and thousands of years to come about what we're going to witness whenever we witness it, if it's going to be today, tomorrow, next week, next month. We don't know. But one thing is for sure, that for thousands and thousands of years, they're going to be talking and writing about what we're going to witness and what we're really a part of. And that's the thing. I mean, we're sitting here and we get angry, we get frustrated. We want things to happen. And I think really what it is just, and I don't know, I can't speak for everybody out there, but I imagine that your experience is probably similar to mine in the sense that when I really get worn down, when I really get battle fatigued, it completely changes my outlook and my perspective on things. And I start to get very, very susceptible to all of the negativity. And I can get sucked in to the negative, the narratives. I can have my vibration pulled down because I haven't had enough rest. I haven't had enough time to rejuvenate my spirit, to reconnect with the Lord, to find my balance. You see, that's the thing, is like when and that's why I talk about the importance sometimes of taking a couple of days off. Even though it seems impossible because there's so much going on. I mean, and for me, it seems especially difficult because now I'm doing a podcast and I feel somewhat of a sense of responsibility, of course, to stay on top of everything that's going on. But despite all that, folks, I have to tell you that if I don't unplug from time to time and give myself a license to take a couple of days and find my balance again, I know what's going to happen. I mean, I hit that record button and basically just what comes out of me is just really pure, purely negative. And, you know, and I, those are the episodes, quite frankly, you know, when I record that, I just decide, you know what, I'm not going to put that out there, because I realize that that's not really a reflection of what I believe, and it's not really what I want to put out there in the ether, and it's certainly not the message that I want to be sharing with my audience. So it's important to have balance, to find balance, because otherwise, you know, all of these false flags, all of these situations that are going to unfold are just going to continue to get inside of your head like they're designed to do, to try to whittle away at your resolve, to try to whittle away at your, you know, to confuse you, to get you to think that we're not making progress, to get you to think that the enemy is actually really in control, to get you to think that everything that you believe isn't accurate. And see, that's what they do, because God controls our hearts, and the devil and all of his minions, they're not allowed to manipulate us through the heart chakra. This is well known throughout all the ancient cultures, that what they do is, the devil's real attack plan is to go after your mind. Your mind is the battlefield, because, and that's why, I mean, that's why they literally have satellites and are beaming negative thoughts into our brains. And I mean, this has been well documented. In fact, I have Brad Olson's going to be coming back. I think it's next week or maybe the week after. But, you know, I know in his book, Beyond Esoteric, he's written about this, the idea that our thoughts are literally not our own in many cases, and especially when we start to move in the toward the direction of freedom, especially when we start to break free from their matrix and their paradigm, and we start to think for ourselves, and we start to move away from the herd, we start to actually question the narrative, that's when you really get attacked. I mean, I feel it all the time, especially now. You know, sometimes I have to remind myself that, you know, I probably am being targeted. I mean, you know, one day you just go from being in a regular, ordinary person, man, I should say, I got to get away from using that word person in my ASN studies. And then, you know, the next day you wake up and you realize, wow, they probably actually know who I am at this point, and they probably have a file on me or something. And but you realize that a lot of these emotional states, these spiritual struggles that you're going through that you've never been through before, it's not a coincidence that all of a sudden I'm having all of these thoughts that I've never had before, and all of this strange energy feels to be converging on me on certain days. I don't think for a second that that's a coincidence. And it's also, of course, part of the reason, again, why it's so important to learn to listen to God's voice. You know, and I've had some wonderful people who have come into my life as a result of me doing this show. Again, I don't believe this is a coincidence. I believe these people were put into my life for a reason, and vice versa, because I think we mutually have something to teach each other. But I've certainly learned from the people that I've come into contact with and become close with, to learn to listen to God's voice amidst all the chaos. And what is God's voice? God is that quiet voice inside of you that tells you not to be afraid, that tells you to be at peace, that tells you to take a moment to step away, to rest, that it's okay to rest, that it's okay to rejuvenate your system. It's absolutely vital, because if you continue to listen to all of the chaos, and you continue to allow it to rev you up and to wear you down, that's when you become imbalanced, and that's when you become more susceptible to enemy attack. And that's when it's very easy to go in the wrong direction, shall we say. And again, I'm talking from personal experience. I'm not trying to lecture anyone, folks. The things that I talk about are what I go through. And the observations that I've had along the way, and the things that I've learned to try to keep myself to the best of my ability in this crazy battlefield that we're on, to try to keep myself on a relatively even keel and to find that balance and to recognize when I'm out of balance. And, you know, I do see a lot of people who are commenting and saying that they're just, you know, at the end of their rope, and they're not, they're at the point where they're almost done listening, and they're almost, you know, ready to give up. I mean, I've even seen people say that. And, you know, it's disheartening to see those types of comments, even though, you know, I can understand why people are so frustrated. It's very disheartening because, you know, I think deep down inside, the people who are writing these things are, you know, they're coming from a good place. Obviously, I don't know any of these people personally. But I do believe, you know, I recognize the names of some of them, and, you know, people who have been a part of the digital community for a while now and our digital family. And it is disheartening to see. But I really don't believe that, you know, if you're a true patriot, as I do believe these folks are, that that's how you are going to, let's just say, make your decision about where you stand and how you're going to carry yourself throughout the rest of this war, because it is a question of free will. I mean, let's not forget, we all have the choice we can walk away from this battle at any time we want. I mean, we know that, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's not an option. It's not a choice for me, because I know that there's really nowhere else for me to go. I'm in this, you know, one way or another, I've committed myself to this battle of good versus evil. And I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to quit. As far as I'm concerned, I've already gone all in. But I don't really think that that's a reflection. Some of the things that these folks are posting is a reflection of what they truly believe. I think it's really more a reflection of how they're feeling at that moment. And I could certainly understand feeling that way and really using, you know, the means that we have to try to express this frustration that, you know, where are the white hats? Why aren't they making a move? We need to see something. And I've, you know, listen, I've talked about this many times on my show. In fact, I can recall many times saying, you know, we need to see something public. We need a win. You know, we need, the Patriots need something, you know, to rejuvenate our spirits. I've said that many times. And honestly, I can't say that I don't believe that, obviously. But the strange thing is that the longer this goes on, and the more I get, there's a, that part of me that gets frustrated and angry and impatient, there's also this other part of me at the same time that's getting molded, I believe, and is getting more patient and is more rooted in faith. I mean, obviously, there's peaks and valleys along the way. And in order to get to these new stages in our spiritual development, we have to go through, unfortunately, we have to go through tough stretches. And if I'm being honest with you folks, the past couple of weeks for me have been tough stretches. Last weekend, I remember, you know, I was really just kind of in such a negative place that I couldn't even get out a coffee chat. I mean, I honestly tried for a couple of hours on, I think both Saturday and Sunday. And I just could not, for the life of me, spit it out. I kept having these false starts. I kept, you know, starting and losing my train of thought. And I mean, it was just, it was a terrible place to be because I desperately wanted to communicate with all of you. And here I am, and I just can't seem to get it out. And I realized somewhere in there that I was exhausted and that I needed some time to find my balance again because I was really running on fumes. But the point is that I go through in the same way I'm sure you do. I mean, all of us do. I go through these periods where it's really difficult. And the reason that it's difficult is because spiritually I feel just worn down. And there's always a part of me, I mean, I've always felt connected to God. There hasn't been a moment in my life, quite honestly, and I can say this, I mean, you know, I can say this is the truth. I've never had a single moment in my life where I stopped believing in God. Never. Now, obviously, my perceptions of God, my attitude toward God, all of those things have gone through totally wild cycles, I guess you could say, before I finally figured out where I stood and really what I believed in and who I was and where I came from. But I never stopped believing because for me, I think even though I didn't understand it at the time, every time I opened my eyes and was conscious, God was always there. Because I always felt this connection, a connection that I didn't understand that, you know, I grew up with religion the same way, you know, organized religion the same way pretty much everybody does and was indoctrinated and everything else. And, you know, certain ideas and things that I was taught, they it didn't end up matching and fitting what I believed. And that's okay. But I always felt that connection to God. And I do believe that that's what has sustained me through everything that I've been through. And I'm sure you could probably say the same. It's been a very difficult process. And when you go through the really difficult lessons, I mean, I'll tell you, it is really unpleasant. The most important lessons, the most important moments that I've had in my entire life have been the most painful ones, folks. I have to say it. As much as I don't even want to admit that, in terms of moving me in the right direction, in terms of building my character and making me a more complete human being, a fuller and more honest and compassionate and empathetic human being, it's always been by way of difficulty and suffering. And yeah, I mean, it's not exactly like, I mean, you don't want to admit it. And certainly when you're going through it, you just want it to end. You just want to get back to the place where you didn't feel like this. You felt more of a sense of normalcy, more of a sense of peace inside of yourself. But for me, I mean, my sense of internal peace and all that, I mean, I lost that a very, very long time ago when I was young. And I've talked about this on my show before, but without going into details, it just completely derailed my entire sense of reality. And I never could understand until I started doing this podcast and connecting with all of you why that had to happen. And there are still elements of it that I don't understand and still parts of my life that I can't really quite make sense of. And as far as understanding the whole picture, although I do believe, and I think I've always at some level believed because of that innate connection that I felt to God, that everything that I was going through had a purpose to it. But then again, there was always that fear as well. Well, you know, what if I'm wrong? You know, what if my whole life gets wasted? What if I never do come out of this? What if this storm cloud that seems to be following me around and never lets the sunlight in never leaves me? What if I'm wrong? What if, what if, what if? And I recognize now that that was always the devil injecting those thoughts into my mind to try to get me to sever my connection and my belief. But you see, he can't get to the heart. And that, to me, is the most beautiful thing, that God always protects all of his children from the devil being able to get in there and to change our hearts and our connection, not just to him, but to one another. I mean, that's why God's creation, us, that's why we have feeling and empathy and compassion. That's why we care about each other. That's why when tragedy strikes, we run to help each other. That's why when, you know, there's a false flag or there's a bombing or a shooting, you see the absolute most heroic and amazing behavior from ordinary people, because it's innate, it's inside of us. We were created to love each other. We were created to run to help one another. And despite everything that they've done to us, they still haven't been able to get that to change. They still haven't been able to corrupt the hearts of humanity. In some cases, they have, absolutely, because people have chosen evil. But we see it time and time again, these acts of kindness. And, you know, I talked about cynicism recently. And I've certainly been through stages of my life when I've been very, very cynical. And this is certainly a time that we're going through right now where it's completely understandable that people would be cynical about how things are unfolding and start to have, or at least have moments where they're really feeling cynical. But at the end of the day, folks, like I said the other day, it's not about being cynical. It's not about gravitating toward these baser impulses that we have. It's about transcending those. It's about recognizing who we really are, not who they programmed us to be. What we really feel, not what they programmed us or tried to manipulate us into feeling or thinking. Who are we really as human beings? And again, when tragedy strikes, and boy, is it going to strike when we get to the eye of this storm. I mean, heck, it's been going on all around us. I mean, this entire matrix is a tragedy. We can all agree on that. But I think folks know what I'm saying. You know, once this all really kicks off, I mean, this is going to make everything that humanity has been through, certainly in our lifetime, seem like nothing in comparison. And that's, I know that that's a major statement, because we've been through some pretty awful stuff. Depending on how old you are, you know, you've been through more or less depending on, you know, your life experiences. But, you know, I'm 43 years old, and I've seen a whole bunch of pretty awful things in my lifetime. And it's going to be nothing in comparison to what happens when the eye of this storm hits. Or you might even say, you know, in the aftermath and what we learn. Depends on how you really want to define the eye of the storm. For me, the way I look at it is really not so much in terms of events being the eye of the storm. I know that they're going to ultimately cause and, you know, they're going to bring about the eye of the storm. But for me, the way I really think of it is humanity getting completely shocked to the core and going through the most difficult experience collectively in terms of confronting evil that we've ever known. That is the eye of the storm. And all of the details, of course, we're gonna see all of those unfold. And that's the other thing. When I get myself kind of out of balance sometimes because I'm exhausted or whatever, it's just, you know, I just want to continue to think about every single detail and focus on how things are going to unfold. And, you know, I get into my research mode and I kind of just kick it into another gear and all of that stuff. I recognize on one level, it's a good thing because I learn more information. But on another level, I'm also driving myself crazy because I'm also trying to, you know, crack the code in some ways, because that's the way my mind operates. You know, I'm always trying to figure it out. You know, what are they going to do next? And what's that going to lead to? And, you know, to the best of my ability, try to figure out the moves on the chessboard. But then there are times when I have to remind myself, I guess like I'm doing right now, that there's no possible way that I'm going to figure it out. There's too many variables. And I do believe that the way that this unfolds is going to be something that nobody actually predicted. Sure, there are going to be elements of it that I think many of us are going to get right. Heck, I may even get a couple of these elements right, but there's none of, I don't think there's anyone out there who has a clue how this is going to actually go down, except for the, you know, handful of people on the QT. Nobody knows. And my suspicion is it's going to probably involve some element that nobody's even looking at. And I do believe that that's on purpose. I mean, again, you don't telegraph your moves to the enemy. Everything that we know, they know, and more, probably. So it's like, you know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves, you know, we go and we listen to the insiders, we read the intel boards, and we come together, we talk about it, but it's not like we're the only ones talking about it. It's not like we're the only ones looking at this information and trying to figure out what it all means. So in reality, are, you know, the White Hats actually going to telegraph their plan? They're going to telegraph how this thing is going to unfold? No. I mean, we have certain things in our mind, I guess, certain markers. For example, the Queen's death, or, you know, something happening, you know, the collapse of the Three Gorges Dam, if that actually occurs. I don't know. But, you know, there are certain markers from an intel perspective that we've been given, and there are certain things that we expect to happen. But, of course, none of us know the actual technical way that it's going to unfold. And, of course, that could be something that's still in flux, because the future really is not set. I mean, it's a series of probabilities that can go in a bunch of different directions. I do believe our timeline is set. But how we actually get there, well, I do believe that that can change and does change on a second-to-second basis because of the choices that we make and how we exercise our free will. And I've said it before, you know, it's a real conundrum in a sense sometimes. It's hard not to get angry at all the people out there who are still asleep, because I think we all recognize that, like I've said many times, if we woke up tomorrow and without even a big, you know, big event or a black swan event or anything like that happening, we just magically woke up tomorrow and 80%+ of the people were just awake, you know, and just suddenly woke up and they were all like us. I mean, the matrix would completely dissolve, like immediately. People understand that, but at the same time, you know, it's not the fault of the people who are being victimized and have been victimized their entire lives for still not understanding the full paradigm. It's really not their fault. It's none of our faults, really. I mean, if you really want to get into it, I mean, philosophically, sure. I mean, I've made the case that we certainly collectively have to learn our lesson about apathy, and we have to understand how we got here and understand the ways that we were attacked, the ways that we were deceived, all of those things. I'm not shying away from that for a second. We have a responsibility, but that doesn't mean that as the victims of this attack, I mean, that's really what this is, folks, at its core. This was a non-terrestrial attack on humanity, a multi-generational, multi-millennial plan to take over our planet and to use us as resources, including food, to do it. And to dwindle down our DNA, the whole, and to terraform the planet so that they could make the atmosphere more conducive to them, so they don't have to live underground. They can get rid of us and actually conquer this planet. That's what this has all been about. I mean, the scope of this is just, it's monumentally large to the point where, I mean, even all of us don't really have a full grip, I don't think, on how big this actually is and how far it goes. And I'm sure there are probably many people out there in my audience who know more than I do. But the point I'm making here is that humanity has been, we've all been born into slavery. We've all been born into a prison planet. And our entire lives have been subjected to attack after attack after attack after attack and gaslit the entire time. So is it really our fault? Is it really the fault of all these people out there who still don't get it? Well, sure, you could make the argument that they should have woken up by now, and I would agree. But that doesn't mean that they're bad people. That doesn't mean that they still can't under the right circumstances, because I truly believe, folks, that the reason that we're awake right now is because we were born to be the ones who would recognize it. We were born to be the ones who would stand out, who would be recognizable to the rest of humanity, because the rest of humanity is too indoctrinated to be able to separate themselves enough to be able to step outside the picture, to see the frame, to see the matrix for what it is. But the day is coming, and I believe it's coming very, very soon, where we're going to see an entire generation of humanity recognize the truth in a way that we never even thought was possible. But it's going to take that big shock event, that black swan event, whatever you want to call it, because again, these people need that jolt. Doesn't make them bad people. Doesn't mean that we're not going to be there to extend a hand. Because I'll tell you something, folks. If we don't fulfill that role, the role that I do believe that we were sent here for, then all of us will have missed the point as well. It's easy for us to get angry. It's easy for us to get, I mean, hell, I get frustrated as heck with these people. I talk about it all the time, and how much I wish I could pierce through the veil and be able to reach these people. But I do believe that God's plan was to not have it unfold that way. God's plan was to have us be the ones who went through the education process, the spiritual development that we're going through. We were chosen for this. The reason, or you could say that we chose, but either way, the reason that we're here, because I believe that many of us are star seeds. Many of us are, you know, as Gene puts it, on the, you know, the home team, whether or not you're an actual star seed or whether you're a saint or, I mean, I don't know. But I certainly know that a lot of us, or I certainly believe, I should say, that a lot of us are higher density beings that chose to come here. And that you're not awake by accident. And not only that, the fact that you are awake is a miracle. And we take it for granted all the time. Now, people have, I do believe that God's plan was not to just have us be the only awakened ones, but for a season, for a period, yes. So that we could get prepared to do what we came here to do. And that's not to be angry and to be resentful and to have negative emotions toward the people who really are the ones who need help the most, who really are the most broken. And, you know, the Lord has really touched my heart on this a lot lately because, you know, my first reaction when I see people wearing masks is generally is anger. And, you know, I just want to, I feel in some cases, you know, at certain points, I felt anger to such a degree that it was almost bordering on violence. You know, the impulse to just want to smack these people, or worse, because I was just so angry. But I really do believe that the Lord is touching my heart on this, because now, you know, when I see people, especially the, you know, as things really are unraveling on the surface and the devolution is really heating up and gas prices are going through the roof and things are getting worse and worse. And there are people who are just still, you know, clinging to the mask and clinging to the narrative, and because they don't know how to process the universe otherwise. They don't know how to navigate the fear that they're feeling. And more, when I look at these people, I'm starting to feel more of a sense of compassion. And I know that that's not coming from me, I can tell you that. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm no saint here. You know, on certain days, I still feel the other way. But I do believe that God is starting to, you know, to mold me and to mold my heart and to get me to see what really is the truth. You know? And those impulses that I have, that anger and that rage and that, you know, that deep-seated resentment of all these people for not waking up and not getting it and for being so stupid. And I mean, I could just go on and on and on. But that really, that rage and that anger, that doesn't belong at their feet. That rage and that anger really is toward the cabal. It's really toward the enemy. It's toward evil. And what evil did, what evil accomplished. And I see these people and I just, you know, more and more, I sometimes I even get emotional. I have moments when, you know, I just look at people and I just realize how lost they are. And I also realize that, you know, if I walked up to them and I, you know, put my hand on their shoulder and, you know, tried to explain to them that, you know, that mask is hurting them and tried to explain to them about the vaccines, and then, you know, I know what would happen. They would look at me as if not only that I was crazy, but, you know, many of these people would lash out violently against me because they've been programmed to do it. And that makes me even more sad because, again, I don't believe that that's who these people really are deep down inside. I think they're just terrified. And it hurts sometimes that, you know, I can't do more to try to help these people. But the thing that I hang my hat on at the end of the day is I know that all of us a coming together because God has intended it this way. I mean, if God wanted us to be able to walk up to people and just tap them on the shoulder and wake them up, and if that was actually effective, then that's, I guess, what we'd all be out doing right now. But instead, you know, we're coming together and we're doing what I believe we're supposed to be doing right now, is coming together and learning from one another, getting a sense of perspective and balance from one another. But really, I think coming together and growing spiritually together, I think that's really what it's all about. So that at the right time and in the right moment, that is coming very, very soon, folks. And I've talked about this before, that it's going to be like a light switch. Suddenly, all of us are going to be activated. And you're going to know, just instinctually, you're going to know that the time has come and that you're about to step into an entirely new office that your whole life has been preparing you for. And that everything that you went through, every difficulty, it was all for a purpose. It was all for a reason, including what you're going through right now. So if you're one of those people out there who, like me, is going through a different, you know, I mean, I've kind of emerged from it, thank goodness. But if you're going through a difficult stretch, folks, you know, just remember that all of it is for a reason. Everything that you're going through right now, all of the negative emotions, all of the fear, the anger, the frustration, God is molding you right now. He's teaching you how to handle it. He's teaching you how to transcend all of the negativity. And believe me, it takes a while to actually get to the other side of it. And, you know, it's sometimes it can be a little bit frightening because you get into these dark places and you don't really even know how to get out and or when the light's going to start shining in again. But it always does. God is testing us. He's molding us. We know that God is faithful. We know God isn't vindictive. He's not here to put us through pain for pain's sake. It's for growth's sake. And when this moment finally hits and we get to be a part of ushering in this new world, we're going to realize that all of that pain was so that we could help be a part and feel just a small part of God's glory, and that we did our part to make straight the path for him, because that's really what this is all about. And we all understand that at the end of the day, this is about God's plan for humanity. And it can get obscured, and it does get obscured a million different ways with all the propaganda and all the disinformation and all the speculation about what's going to happen. But this is God's plan for his people. And that's what we need to focus on and remember. So hopefully you folks enjoyed this coffee chat. You can let me know in the comments. Please hit the like button if you did. Please make sure you subscribe to the different platforms I'm on, BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean. And make sure to check out patriotunderground.shop. Pick up an item or two to support my work. You can also make a monthly pledge on Patreon. And remember, folks, patriotswitch.com, an incredible company, incredible products. Do your shopping with the good guys. I'll leave a link in the description. Just click on that link and you can get contact, and then they'll provide all the details. It's an amazing opportunity, folks. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss out. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. I'll be back soon. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.